This is RSBNB Update, episode 385, recorded Friday, November 2nd, 2012, the longest weekend. Hello, everybody. Welcome to RSBNB Update, episode 385. This show is special in the fact that it is live, and we have two guests with Trekkie and myself this week. First up being Schwa, who's worn every hat on RSBNB that pretty much exists, except for, well, the mod hat.
Of course. But maybe someday.
Who knows? Maybe. We also got Duke Juker here, who is our current RSBNB and former gaming writer.
Hello.
So, just a little preface here on what happened. We spent about 3 minutes before the fact recording nothing because I forgot to hit the record button. So we got into the whole behind the scenes and stuff. So people listening live did get a little bit extra, but we're going to actually go back and cover that right now. So first up is Behind the Scenes November. Now the first update this month is a rework to Tears of Guthix. So essentially what they've done is they've updated the XP rewards for everyone so it can compete with more recently introduced ways of getting XP. So of course that'll mean more XP, so I think we're all happy about that.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Free XP is always good.
They're also updating the cave areas to make it look more like all the other recent graphical updates that have happened.
That's good. Slick. The snake looks very nice.
Yeah, and yeah. In the behind
if it's
the
anything
scenes,
like the concept art, it'll definitely be one of probably the better areas of the game.
In the behind the scenes video, they said it's not too often that a snake gets a cosmetic appearance change for the better, so. Okay.
That was bad.
Well, I was trying to be a snake, but anyways. Also, if you have 80 mining and crafting, you will now have the option of making a bigger ball, so you'll catch more tears. So as I was saying, do you guys think this pertains to getting more time or being able to hold more tiers? Because the way I understood it, it was governed by how many quest points you have.
Probably get more tiers because, yeah, the whole time aspect to it. It's probably you'll be able to get more tiers now than before. So,
yeah, they'll definitely have to rework at least something with the tiers because given that the dimensions that it has right now, just adding a bigger bowl wouldn't really do anything.
Yeah.
Differently.
And, you know, it's always fun to go back there and see the stories that you tell, like a short sentence recap of all the quests. So
I remember there's one from Monkey Madness.
Yeah.
I remember this whole bunch.
There's also one from Well Guthix Sleeps. I actually slacked a bit on doing my Tears of Guthix stuff. I don't know why. I haven't gone in quite a long time. Probably should, because I do want to get the extra tier points for Dungeoneering. So, you know, I think that this is one of their different ways of redoing content, because you remember 2 weeks ago, was it, they redid the Doric and Boric quest, and with that, they completely removed Doric's quest. So I'm glad they didn't remove the actual Tears of Guthix quest. I'm glad they're just giving the entire area an update. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. I like it when they do focus on like a bigger area rather than just fix like little tiny things. It really
so like an area like this, or
well, just like when they did the Alcarid rework, okay. And it looked really nice. And you know, just rather than updating, maybe like I don't know, the crafting shop or something like that.
Right,
changing the whole area is really nice.
We've also let the graphics team loose on the area, meaning that the cave, light creatures, and Juna have had a spectacular facelift. So that's so awesome it made her cry with joy.
I didn't know they had faces.
They just looked kind of like blobs.
yeah, that's what they did look like way back in the day. Do you guys remember after Construction came out and there was at the Tears of Guthix area, there was what was called Sudden Death Syndrome, where people would just randomly die?
Oh, yeah. Me and my friend went out there and tried to die, and we actually managed to do it a couple times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So for anybody who wasn't there, is you just head on over to the Tears of Guthix area. This was right after Construction came out. And just randomly, I mean, it wouldn't even matter what you were doing or what you were wearing, you would get hit for your full amount of hit points plus one. And then that would, of course, finish you off. And people there, got some pretty good loot from that. And if my memory serves me correctly, they didn't do a rollback for this, did they?
No rollback.
No.
Well, what they basically did was after everyone else, after it started coming out, everybody just went in there with nothing on and said, "Nah, it's fake," and then, "Oh, shoot, it happened."
Yeah, everyone started suffering brand aneurysms in RuneScape. Okay, so next up in this month is Dungeoneering XP increases for free players and members. So this is what they're referring to for the small and solo groups. So they say they're still committed to giving biggest rewards to five-player groups, but they want to make it more beneficial for smaller groups. So they're going to be getting an XP boost. And solo group XP will be doubled as a minimum. Solo XP at higher levels could now reach figures of 350k per hour. I wonder what this is gonna. If there's gonna be any kind of XP boost for the five-man groups.
What do you mean?
Like for if you're doing a dungeon with five people, you already get quite a bit of XP from that. I wonder if they plan on increasing that more.
Well, it's supposed to be depend on people you have in your group, so I would assume it would be more, or at least be may make it faster.
Perhaps. I don't know. I just wonder, do you think 350k is enough to do Dungeoneering solo?
350k per hour? I think that's more than fast enough to want to do it by yourself. At least for the lower floors, if not for the higher ones.
Yeah, because they said higher levels. So it'll be interesting to see what my level 80 floors go for.
I just do the daily, when you get the chance, do the daily challenge of the Dungeoneering.
Yeah, those are very challenge. Nice. Even though they were nerfed down a bit, I got 69k at level 80.
At 93, I got 97k. I was like 3k short of 100. I was like, oh man, I wish I didn't have to roll that back. Before I got 117, I was awesome. I was geeking like a little schoolgirl when I saw that happen.
So, with that being said, if anybody wants to hear more about Dungeoneering, we just recorded a Dungeoneering Focus a couple weeks back. So if you haven't listened to that and you're wondering how the heck do I get started with Dungeoneering, head back to episode 383, I believe, and listen to us discuss with Jord about Dungeoneering.
Yes.
And yes, it was 383. So episode 383. Okay, also this month they're redoing the Rune Mysteries and Rune Memories quest. So these quests are being re-released at the same time. So, of course, this is going to be focused on rune crafting. First, of course, will be free-to-play, so that's good for you, Duke.
Yes, I love free-to-play stuff now that I'm not a member anymore.
And also they're doing the Rune Memories quest, which was the sequel they did, I think, about 2 years ago. Remember correctly. They say this time it's Ariane's story that's explored, and it's a story that reaches back to the very foundation of one of our oldest game areas, the Wizard Tower. Expelled for using forbidden knowledge, Ariane's returned to the Wizard Tower to face a grave threat. It's been long known that the Wizard's Tower has been built on the ruins of an older one destroyed by a conflict between Ceridomus and Zamorakian wizards. But the details have been buried for centuries. So basically, we're going to be going through this and revealing the entire story from the old Wizard's Tower. And, of course, they're also going to redo the Wizard's Tower itself with this, just like they did Alcard. So, anybody sad to see the old Wizard's Tower go?
Not really.
Okay.
It's pretty simple. I mean, I like the picture they have on the website for kind of like the idealized what it's going to look like. And it looks
Concept. You know what? It reminds me of? Reminds me of one of those pictures of a skyscraper you see in a city of like the future or something. Except rather than being all silvery and futuristic looking, it's got this old style Harry Potter type look to it.
Yeah, actually, I was thinking like Lord of the Rings style. It kind of reminded me of that.
Well, that works too.
Yeah. Thinking of the tower, the two towers.
Yes.
I never read that book.
I did.
It's a good book.
I think I watched a video in a computer science class once. But anyways. So this will include new titles, new mage outfits, new mage weapon for low-level players, and Rune Essence rewards as your rune crafting levels increase. Wouldn't that be nice if you could get a daily amount of Rune Essence or something?
We do.
Dailies are always good.
I know.
No, I mean from this quest, not from the achievement diary.
Oh.
Well, you also get it from the hood.
Right. From the hood. I forgot about the hood. Okay, never mind. They won't do that then. They won't do that.
So. You can get roughly, let's see, how much you can get from the Ardonian one? Let's see, you get 150?
Something like that.
So you roughly every day you get around 250. You get about so you get about 250 every day if you do the hood and the daily, which if you put it all in your pouches, you turn them all into runes and make money.
Yeah, that's good.
And you can use that thing to teleport.
Oh yeah, right. I forgot about the teleport. That's a good way to get to like the death altar and whatnot.
That's what I do when I'm making my glories. I use all the stuff from the hood. Because I have to go over there and change my spellbook anyway. It just makes it easier, and I use it up anyway.
But there's a lodestone now.
Yeah, but the that one, the one from the hood, takes you right to the altar.
Right, you're right on that. Okay. Also, this month, gravestone updates. So this is based on player feedback and the way you interact with the gravestones after an unfortunate encounter with death. Interface to hold the items rather than dropping them all to the floor. I think that's useful because it's just so hard to sort through such a tall list of items when they get dropped.
I haven't died recently.
Yeah, neither have I, but...
I don't think a lot of people die in RuneScape unless you're like PvPing, so it's usually not that big of an issue, but I mean, if you are dying constantly, it probably is quite a pain to go through a list.
And
I like
the
re-equip all and the take all options that they're adding to it.
Yeah,
that'll be
good.
Really useful. Because half of it is just putting your gear back on, too, even after you've gotten it.
And also, imagine if you're there and you're just at the nick of time and your stuff's about to disappear, so you're going to lose this stuff that you dropped when you died. And if you have to click hideously through the entire list, you're going to need to... click fast enough to make sure you get it all, whereas now you're just going to be able to click one button and there you go. So definitely a worthwhile update. But of course they said that death wanted a reap all button and they decided against that. That's kind of funny how they mentioned that. Oh, and for anybody who hasn't died in RuneScape, I recommend you go die because they added a feature last time they did an update to this where you actually can choose which hub you spawn at. You don't need to automatically set respawn points.
Mm. Yeah, so you know, you can always grab a couple items, head out to the Queen Black Dragon. As you can say, I saw it.
Yep.
So it's like a lodestone network for when you die. Basically.
Exactly.
Cool.
Edgeville, Lumbridge, Falador, and Camelot, I believe. And then I think it can put you down for other hubs as well, depending on where you go. I haven't died that much, so I'm not sure. Okay, now this is an update that I am pretty happy with that's coming, and it's already in beta, but we'll discuss this after. Make X. So they say they're calling this the largest update of the month, and something every player will use on a daily basis. They say it's going to be useful for everything from item production and Grand Exchange alchemy prices, and it presents them in one place. So, for example, you won't have to frantically check through skill guides or websites just to have to work out to train those skills. It also includes some brand new features, such as like being able to clean inventory loads of herbs.
Okay. Please give me Mass Enchant. Please give me Mass Enchant. That's all I care about.
Right, because you have to click each Glorionis once, right?
You know, stringing them is automatic. Stringing is automatic by enchanting every single one. That we have to do. And stringing them all in one with one click and then just wait till the sound is over. But in order to turn the Dragonstone amulet into a glory amulet, you have to do every single one. And I was like, oh, I'm so sick of doing that.
And don't you do like 500 at a time?
Depends on the supply and demand. I just took a break from it because I can't stand looking at them anymore.
I'll do them for you.
No!
Why not?
Then I have to pay you.
No, you don't. I'll do it for free. Just give me the bars, give me the stones, and I'll use my own runes, and I'll make the Dragonstone things for you, and I'll give them to you. I won't even ask for my usual 10% margin.
I knew it was 10%.
I know, but I said I won't even ask for it. I'm taking the lobes off today just for you, Trekkie.
No. I'd rather give it to Uncle Dana so he can get up there his crafting closer to 99. I'm sure Dana would love to get that. Almost doesn't count.
I thought taking my lobes off would have helped, but I guess not.
You know, okay, if you take the lobes off, that means you're female Ferengi.
Okay, you're right. Forget that idea then. Forget that. And we know what the female Ferengis have to do.
Be naked.
Yes.
Naked Shane. Doesn't ring a bell.
No, so next up is Combat Beta in the Academy, so we're going to skip that because we have an actual news post on that, so we can talk more about that. Then, of course, we got Solomon's Store. Okay, I'm sure you guys don't want to hear about this, but just keep your eyes open because, you know, there's always going to be fresh stuff coming out there.
Well, just to give a brief read, Store is going to include the first hero pack, costumes, weapon reskin, teleport animations, and a couple of Ionic RuneScape heroes. And yeah, that's more or less it. Let's see. Yelp is getting into action too with replay tokens for your favorite D&D cropping up on the Squeal of Fortune.
Oh, good.
Okay. Another monthly run at Troll Invasion, an extra weekly bash at the circus, or newly reworked Tears of Guthix. Don't mind if I do. Oh, and we'll mention that later.
Okay. Well, the combat beta is now open to everybody, so if you're free to play or whatever, you can head into the combat beta now and get yourself acquainted with it. So that probably means as though that they're going to be releasing it soon. In fact, we do know it's coming soon because they put out a tweet this week, said that it is coming soon. So I'm thinking within the next month or so. So if you have not played the combat beta, definitely head on in and check it out. Please do that because it's a fun piece of content.
And, you may like it.
Yeah, just like we do, eh?
I like it. I love Tsunami. I was saying better, but Dookie is here.
They have this video on this news post of the Tsunami thing, and they actually got it to work. So I think we were just in too enclosed of an area.
Yeah. Every time I was trying to use it on you, I was always right next to the fence.
Yeah.
And you had to be in the middle for it to work.
Yep. So also this week they released the Combat Academy, which is just kind of like a place where you can go and learn about the combat beta. So this should be good for people because I know there's lots and lots of misconceptions out there pertaining to the combat beta. So definitely do go check out the Combat Academy, even if you've tried the beta before and didn't like it. Also, you get some XP from your Live World account for actually checking it out, so it's worth it.
Yeah, I'm thinking a lot of people are going to need to re-educate themselves after the beta comes out finally.
Yeah, you know? And that's why we're doing this thing where I'm searching for somebody who isn't exactly a fan of EOC. because I want to set up a focus episode on EOC, and specifically why EOC is good and what it means to combat and why it's a great thing. And the idea is to have the pro-EOC side against the anti-EOC side. And the anti-EOC side brings their complaints, and we convert them into a pro-EOC person through that focus episode. So if anybody out there listening knows anybody who is anti-EOC and would like to come on and tell us why you don't like it, and maybe hear some about why we like it, and maybe you can convince us of some bad things, or we can convince you of some good things about it, please do contact me on the forums, rsbnb.com/forums. So, I'm very happy about this, that we're seeing progress on this. The only downside is that the OS X Java plugins got removed, and RuneScape doesn't exactly work on Java 7 yet, does it? Anyone know?
I don't have a Mac, so...
No, I said Java 7. Even on Windows, it doesn't work.
I don't know what version I'm running on right now. Let me see.
Probably 6-something.
Well, I'm just using the client, so it's whatever
is. Yeah, so that's self-contained.
Yeah, so far I'm still on 6.
Yeah.
6.something-something.
So, anyways, definitely check this out. And the video looks interesting. They just posted this today. I didn't have time before the show to head in and look at it. But I'll definitely be heading there later tonight and checking out as well the MakeX interface, because this is actually in the beta servers now.
Yes, thank you, God.
So maybe we're due for another testing period sometime over the next week, you and I?
Sure. Praise Sarah Doman.
And maybe we should go somewhere that, like, the wilderness or something, somewhere that's bigger, because the POH isn't exactly big enough to use the tsunami and stuff. Maybe the dual arena would work better.
Well, the problem with dual arena, you can only fight one-on-one. And
yeah, that's true. Oh, well.
Well, the only other place is to, like, go to Soul Wars or something, but not many people are there in the beta anyway.
Yeah, and the thing is that you have the side objectives to do, so POH House is probably the best on that. So everyone go check out the Combat Academy. So, and also, of course, they want feedback. So do include feedback and make it constructive, because, you know, if you're giving them feedback, you know, this sucks and I just hate this, that's really not helpful. So try and be constructive with what you say. And also, in this news post, ModMark has a video as for 5 of his favorite features of EOC. So links to the Academy info and the video can all be found at update.rsmb.com. So, Halloween 2012 results. So this is that area controlling side. I said I was working for Team Heinous, which is actually the ones that won.
Yay!
So, essentially, you would just dump your ectoplasm into the pool for that side, and then they'd count it up based on how many they had inserted. So, congratulations to Team Ectoplasm. And they do have a short comic strip to show some of the horrors that Mod Mike experienced through the last night, and you can find plenty more on the RuneScape Facebook page. And they left the speech bubbles blank on this so that people can put their own words in this and send it to community@jagex.com, and they'll feature their most favorite ones. So apparently he had to sleep in the Upminster Tithe Barn, which is one of England's most haunted locations.
On
underneath a tarp.
Well, what do you guys think? There's actual ghosts?
Sure.
Nah.
No, but there are some unexplainable stuff that happen. You know,
I saw a ghost before.
Oh, really?
Yes. I was at home by myself, and I went to take a quick little nap. And I'm, you know, when I say I'm home alone, I mean I'm serious. Like, no one is here. I'm just closing my eyes, and then I hear someone say hi to me. I hear a girl's voice say hi to me. I look up and I see a female hand with a green sweater on. And I was like, oh, maybe it's my sister. Like, wait a minute, she's not here anymore. Who the hell was that?
Are you serious or are you making that
up? I'm serious. I'm dead serious.
I see. How many years ago was this?
About 3 years ago.
Did you have the house exercised?
No. We have a Buddha statue outside, which is supposed to keep away ghosts, but maybe it was a friendly ghost, but it did say hi to me. Casper, the friendly ghost.
Did you see any face to it, or?
No, all I saw was her hand.
I see.
All I saw was her hand and the green sweater.
Right. Were you sure you weren't taking any kind of medication or anything?
No, I was just a little sleepy, and I just went to take a 5-minute nap. I just got home.
Yeah, so they posted a link to the Tithe Barn investigation. So apparently it is actually, they see this kind of stuff. Uh-oh. Here. So I'm going to have to watch this. It's interesting. All right, moving on. Bonus XP weekend wrap up. It's nice that they gave some little data on this. Altogether, you clocked an incredible 4,445,966 hours of game time over the weekend.
What a waste.
Time well spent, right, Dana?
How are we supposed to solve cancer if all these people are putting time into RuneScape?
Multitask.
You know, I was trying to do some quick math on this, and I didn't see how many people were actually on during the weekend, but
I'd like to see the numbers for that and average.
Yeah, I'd like to know the average amount of time each person spent rather than the total number of game hours.
I'd like to know if anybody actually used like the entire 48 hours.
I told people not to do that, but I wouldn't rule it out. People have done some crazy things in the past.
Yes, like drank, what was it, 5 monsters in one setting or something?
I can't.
Yeah, that's pretty bad for you too. So,
oh, that person died.
You guys heard about those recent supposed monster-related deaths?
I heard about those.
Yeah, apparently, there was, I think, 5 people who supposedly died from monster. I think it's just an allegation. They haven't proven it yet. But specifically this one girl who also had a heart condition drank like 2 or 3. And it didn't quite work out so well.
Yeah, so, typically I don't think energy drinks are a good thing to drink. So honestly, that's why I was wondering on the XP rates here.
Honestly, energy drinks don't do jack for me. I drink it and I don't feel a dang thing. What do you think was really keeps you?
Yes, oh, and they said they accumulated untold billions of XP. Billions.
I'm thinking trillions, but you know.
I wonder how much of this was botted.
Lots. Over half.
Only 90%.
I didn't bot.
Well, no, of course you didn't bot, but I mean, they have a bonus XP weekend, and they don't turn the bot watch for player botting on beforehand. Reminds me, I gotta get an update on that. So, and of course, they also said that, yes, we know that login servers felt the strain and the worlds were laggy. In the future, they're not going to, they're going to make sure that this doesn't happen. So, they're going to make sure the servers are ready next time.
So that means we're going to get more bonus weekends in the future.
Hope so. Hopefully they keep the flat 2x rate, because we do have an interesting graph for that later on in skill.
Yes. Wow.
Let's not spoil anything. Moving on. Thanksgiving title competition. So this is for all you Americans out there. They're, of course, celebrating your Thanksgiving again for some absurd reason.
They like us.
What they want by November 8th is you to submit a title in this forum topic for your Thanksgiving title. The title must be not contain anything deemed offensive, must be less than 30 characters, must have some relevance to Thanksgiving, All entries must be posted before the closing date of the 8th, and most importantly, have fun. Some examples they give include the Thankful. That's the one that they give, or Turkey Chaser. Some of the other ones on this front page are
gobble, Happy gobble, Turkey. Fix your game.
Yeah, the Stuffed, Turkey Faced, Turkinator, El Pollo Loco. No idea what that means. What does that mean?
You don't need to know.
Why?
You don't need to know.
Okay, well, I'm going to Google it regardless. El Pollo Loco. Oh, okay. It's fast food chain Mexican grilled chicken restaurant. I see.
Oh, you need to know.
Okay. So,
somebody needs to go for like a politically incorrect title. You know,
like
something
what?
Involving Native Americans and something.
The Pilgrims.
Yes. Happy Pilgrims and Native American Working Together Day until we start killing each other the next day.
That's too long.
Okay. Something like that.
The Gobbler, the Giving, the Thankful, the Roasted, the Broiled, the Pluck, the Obese.
The Obese.
I felt that almost every Thanksgiving. Then I realized I gotta go run around for a while. The Butterball. Mashed Tater.
Okay, well, you guys can send all these in. Link to the competition is on update.rsbnb.com. And that's it for RuneScape-related stuff this week. Moving on to questions right now. We got two audio questions. The first one being from Risey.
What's up, guys? Rice here. So this morning I went on to the RuneScape website and read the behind the scenes. Now, I was stoked when I saw that they were going to increase the dungeoneering rates for soloing dungeons. What are your guys' thoughts on this? That's all for this week. Thanks.
Okay. So, we kind of already covered this early on, but in general, we are fans of the fact that they are increasing the solo XP rate. I just hope it doesn't do too much that we'll have to redo the dungeoneering focus.
Nah.
Yeah, because we focused largely on groups in the focus, didn't we?
Mm-hmm. Soloing has never been a really great thing to do because of the XP experience that you get. Isn't very high.
Yeah. So
it still takes a long time too.
And you know, are we past the point where we're not calling dungeoneering a skill?
I never considered it a skill.
It was a skill.
I always thought of it as just like the mini game aspect, you know, you go, I mean, yeah, it's technically a skill, but not really.
It's like a Franken skill, in my opinion. Just made up of every other skill.
Well, sometimes, I mean, I don't know. It's kind of where the game was heading with that. But, Tricky, what do you think? Is it a skill?
Sure. Why not? Why okay. Is a skill? It's on the skill bar. Duh. Hello.
Okay. But, I think that increasing the XP is good, and this is something that needed to be done from a long time back, because ultimately, as we discussed in the Dungeoneering focus, when somebody does Dungeoneering XP and they get put with an idiotic group, they're turned off from Dungeoneering for quite some time. And as we know, Trekkie, it's kind of hard to get a group of five people that you know and love together to do this.
It's still impossible to get a group of five.
Yeah. I mean, we've kind of got our group of five, but really it's not ideal. So, I mean, just the fact that they're increasing the smaller dungeon groups, that's good. Maybe that means we could do a three-person dungeon group and get more XP. Well, hopefully that comes along with this as well.
Remember what George said, it's about XP per hour, not XP per floor.
Right.
So, faster you do it, the better. But to get up to that level, you really gotta work at it.
Yeah, so more people, of course, means more
share
XP
responsibility
per hour. Yeah. And,
you know, I did say before that if you have voice, can communicate by voice, you'll have a big advantage over everybody else. So far, it's not to be true every time I've done it.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Does anybody else have anything on this? We kind of went through it in the behind-the-scenes portion, but...
I like soloing. I think it's great. I prefer not to have a team. That's just my preference. I don't care how crappy the XP is.
Okay. Duke, you got anything before we move on?
No, not really. Just it was good. I mean, after the whole nerf. And then the other thing they mentioned, too, is that it also increases the number of tokens you get, which, you know, that's a nice thing, too. So
Yes. Those
if anyone, are so hard to come you by. Know, even if you're not... It's a boost to XP, but also since you get the tokens, you could use that on XP or for anything else that's a reward. So that's probably a good thing.
And Tricky, didn't George say something? If you're really close to a level where you get a new floor, you could spend some tokens on it.
Mm-hmm. Don't be ashamed or what's the thing he said? Like, don't be afraid or ashamed to spend it on points. But you know. When you get up there, when you got everything that you want, you might as well just spend it on it anyway.
Yeah.
Yep. Alrighty, well, moving on to the next question from Brian then. It's a bit of a mouthful, so everybody put your listening ears on and listen close.
Dear hosts, what do you think of rejecting your ballot? I accidentally referred on this to this on the forums as spoiling a ballot, which is illegal. Sorry, Your Majesty. So, thoughts on marking your preference for no candidate running for political office or for more than one? Would you prefer it over voting against an unpreferable candidate just so that the person may not win? I think it's great, an alternative to not voting at all, making your voice count by stating that this election has left you unconvinced or undecided against only one true clear candidate that catches your eye. Now let's say 30% of the people voted last time. If this time that trend continues, but instead 70% of the people reject their ballot papers, that would really send a clear message to, in my case, Elections Canada, that there's something really wrong with how we think our next government should govern. I would prefer this over voting for a clear winner who is against a person I'd elect in 1,000 years, because that just screws with the statistics, right? It's not illegal anyway, here at least, so it shouldn't be an excuse to not vote at all. By sitting your bum on the couch, whining against your current circumstance, defending yourself as being undecided. That's just not right, at least I think it that way. I'd love to hear what you all have to say. Have fun, Brian.
Well before we get too far into this, Brian, you say spoiling the ballot and not voting for anybody, that's one side of it. But there are voting systems in the world that allow you to mark more than one choice, and then it runs them off. Based on that. So, for instance, if nobody gets more than 50% of the vote, the next person is knocked off, and their second choices get distributed, and still if no one gets 50% more than the vote, those ones get knocked off, and then so on and so on until you get somebody with more than 50% of the vote. Personally, I don't prefer a system like that, but systems exist in places. I believe it's called alternate vote. They wanted to bring that into the UK, but that referendum failed. And British Columbia wanted to bring something similar in called single transferable vote. So that failed as well. So those are that's the one side. But now let's talk about spoiling. Or whatever.
Trying to think of how this works in the United States. At least where I live in Washington State, we don't have like a none of the above option. It's just the candidates. And then you can do a write-in section. But basically, you could choose not to mark either candidate or the write-in section. That basically counts as a no vote. So, but in terms of, I'm not sure how that works. Even if you choose not to vote for someone, I'm sure there's measures in place that people would still be voted in if they had a majority of the vote. So,
yeah, I mean, a majority of the no vote. What would that count? That would be pretty rare. But like. I don't know. What would you do in that case? Would you just discard those, or would you have to call in a new vote?
You would just discard them. Basically, their votes just don't count.
For their vote not to count.
When I was working in the polling place, you know, they basically said, if people want to write it in, they can, but they can also choose have more than one option. That we have to tell them, we'll put it into the eagle and they'll get rejected because there's two options for one of the measures. And we ask them, do you really want this in? And if you do, it will not be counted because you voted for more than one. And if they say yes, you just put it in anyway. So basically, they'll count it just to see what people put, but that won't be the official one.
Okay, so that's how it works there. But of course, like you guys said, it's different state by state. Schwa, do you know how that works? You're in which state again?
Missouri. I'm not sure. I'm not too familiar with it. For the presidential one, I didn't get to vote last presidential election. So I'm not exactly sure how they do it, but I don't think that they're going to count your vote either way if you leave it blank, or if you write in both of them. I think that they'll just discard both answers, maybe keep them for pollster purposes, but not for the actual count.
Okay.
Well, I know president, that might not be a good idea because, if not enough people vote, then basically it's just left up to the House and Senate. To decide I don't know, personally I'd rather have the people pick, but you know.
Well, last time that happened it was between Gore and Bush and we just had let the Supreme Court pick. It wasn't the House and Senate. But they just made a speech about why we should win.
That was a different thing.
We just made a speech like why I should be in and said, "Here you go, Bush. Alrighty."
And we all know that was the right choice, wasn't it?
Of course, was the right choice. Now, I mean, that was actually a different circumstance. I mean, basically what happened with that was, just because you don't win the popular vote doesn't mean you can't win the electoral vote, which is the one that you get elected based off of. And I can't remember. Basically, it was left up to the Supreme Court to decide which electoral slate to select. They could have picked either one. But the one that was certified was the Republican one, I believe. So, I mean, they didn't make a wrong decision in that respect, you know.
And, of course, the thing is when you're dealing with law like that, you're dealing with precedent setting. So you have to make sure that what you are ruling on is in line with the past and that what you do now will not be too far off from anything that might, for some whatever reason, come up in the future. So,
like this election.
Yeah, but we'll talk about that in a little bit. Okay. So, I don't know. Should all places have a none of the above option?
I think so.
And what would happen if people vote for none of the above? Like if a majority could say none of the above, call a new election with new candidates, or?
Nope. Position goes unfilled.
Oh, okay. Well, that works then. So you guys could. I think you could run without a president then.
Just like the executive would decide to appoint someone to that position rather than.
Yeah, that would make sense because that's kind of like if we elected our prime minister here, but we don't. It comes with the party. So, for example, when one dies or steps down, whoever is next in line from that just steps in to fill the place, and same thing goes for any cabinet positions or whatever. So I assume it would be something like that. But does anybody else have anything on this, or you guys want to talk about the ability of selecting multiple candidates?
Nay.
It seems too confusing. I don't know.
I know. I mean, those systems like that are. And I personally don't think that that's the case because I think just whoever gets the most votes, whether it be 50% or not, should just get it because that's the simplest way of doing it.
The only circumstance I can think of where you choose multiple is when there's multiple positions available. So this semester, I ran for a student body government position. And it wasn't a big deal for the position I was running for, but for like freshman senators, where there's four positions open and then there's a bunch of people running, well, then you have to choose like multiple. If you only did one vote, that would definitely, take down the numbers on how many people got votes.
Right.
So that's really the only circumstance I can see where that would be the only time where you would allow something like that.
Well, another thing I don't like is when systems like that are used and people can come in from behind like that when they were in third in the first vote, for example, and then someone else got chopped off and then votes got redistributed. That's just pretty annoying how that happens. But if we don't have anything else, I think it's time to move on.
Yeah.
Alrighty. Trekkie, you can read this question.
Hold on, my computer's getting frenzy.
Okay, Duke, read this question then.
Okay. Question from Paul. Shane, how would you feel about a full-on RP world, such as where your items are stored in whichever bank you use, there's full-world PvP and an added police-esque D&D for muggings, grand exchange, usage fees, etc. P.S. I love the show. Just started listening and download 3 or 4 a day to listen to while I spin on the side of the road.
What's sign spinning?
I think that's like advertisement. If you've ever seen those pizza guys, they hold a sign on the road.
Oh, they okay. Like an arrow or something, and they have to like attract attention to the store.
Yeah.
I see. Well, I'm glad that you like this and you're listening to 3 to 4 a day, so you have a great amount of catching up to do. So thank you for doing that, and thank you for sending in a question. Full-on RP world? Sure, I mean, we could have something like that. I mean, we already have total level worlds, PvP worlds, dungeoneering worlds, so a full-on RP world would be a good thing to have, I think. But, of course, the problem is, the way you mention it, with banks being stored, or items being stored in whichever bank you use, that that would require some work to the bank system, because the bank system as it is across worlds right now, and you can access it from whichever bank, so they would need to drastically redo the banking system. So I think it would be possible if you forgot the banking aspect that you mentioned in here. But I'd be partial to this because I know there are people that actually do like to treat this game as a RPG. So I think they should be able to. So yeah, by all means, I think it would be nice if Jagex would do something like this. But of course, it would just hinge on technical aspects for the banking. That would be the only thing if I was working at Jagex that I would not be able to implement with this. What do you guys think he means by a police-esque D&D for muggings?
I don't know. For muggings, police people are running around rolling a bluff check to see if they can capture the other dude.
Maybe, or maybe if people get mugged, the police come and help. Or I don't know. Yeah, that'd be nice to.
What they do with it?
Wouldn't it be nice on one of these worlds like this to be able to use your thieving XP or thieving level against someone else and maybe thieve from actual players?
I'd probably piss a lot of people off.
I know, but it'd be in the full RP world and PvP world, so by all means, you could just turn around and smack him on the head with your dragon longsword.
I could just see, like, the level 99 thiever just harassing some level 3, just like, you have no money now.
Well, there'd have to be limits based on, you know, thieving levels and whatnot. Like, thieving levels would have to be relatively close, and maybe you could work defense in a way or something like that.
Sure. I don't know, it's just a funny idea.
I know, but it'd be fun, wouldn't it?
Really taking advantage of this.
I mean, if I was in this world with Trekkie, I'd try and steal from him whenever I saw him. What's your thieving level right now?
84, I think.
Oh, okay, so yours is a bit higher than mine. Mine's 81 right now.
And Shane, if I did see you coming, I would just hop worlds.
Yeah, that's true. So, yeah, I like this idea.
Ability to arrest bots. That would be nice, but then again, it will be basically be mob mentality. I think this is a bot. He's not talking.
Everyone get him!
Burn well, you know what? You could just solve this problem by making the RP world, like he says, full PvP. and have banks be the only safe spot like they were back in RuneScape Classic once upon a time.
I thought he was putting both those together, where it was a PvP world, and then you have, like...
I thought they were together as well. So, for those who are relatively new to the game, like pre or post RuneScape Classic and really didn't know this, in RuneScape Classic, in one of the earlier incarnations of RuneScape Classic, the entire world was open PvP, and you were able... Except for Lumbridge, and there were certain safe zones where you could go. And after the wilderness was removed, I'm not sure if you guys remember this, but they did try full-on PvP worlds again, and they got rid of them when they brought the wilderness back, which in my view is too bad. Because if I was a PvPer, I know I'd like to have the entire world with me. Like, for example, imagine you're chasing someone through Catherby, and then they get on the charter ship, you don't know where they went. So, I mean, it'd just be nice to see something like that coming. But definitely support this idea. And, Paul, I thank you for listening, and I hope you'll continue to listen and share the episodes with your friends, and maybe one day send in an audio question like these two did this week.
Yes, we're missing the audio question from Uncle Dana.
Yes. Remember my deal with you, Uncle Dano?
You had a deal with him?
Yeah, I had a deal with him. I'll tell you later. So, next one's from Maremska. Schwa, you can read it.
Says, hi, host. Maremska here. How was your bonus XP weekend? I did magic all the way and got close to 99 magic. And about 200k farming XP, and also played 29 hours within a 48-hour period. No lifer. Anyhow, my question this week is, should I start buying seeds to farm for Herblore? As the cost per seed for Toadflax is so cheap, what type of potion should I really be doing to 92? His Herblore level is 74 and he has 71 farming. Thanks a lot, Maremska.
Hey, Schwa, we're the experts on this.
Yeah, well, at least I used to be.
Remember I beat you to 99?
Yeah, I remember. I came in a couple years behind. But I made sure that you got to 99. You weren't going to do it.
Yeah, that's right. Okay.
And you were just scared of being beat.
Yes.
I don't know about that, but...
Yep.
So, back in the olden days, I used anti-fire potions. But that is completely different than today. So if I was doing 99 Herblore again today, Schwa, you tell me if you agree with me on this. I would either buy my herbs using money earned from the herb farming, or if I wanted to just do things from the ground up at a grassroots level, I would plant all my seeds and do them on my own, but that would take longer. So what I did was a combination of kingdom and just... I don't think farming was out at this time. And then just buying the seeds based on money that I fundraised or clue squirrels or something. So it depends on how you want to do it. Personally, I would, if I was doing it this day and age, I'd just farm my own. But what I would do is you already have the levels for the supersets. So I would build the supersets like you do with the super attack, strength, and defense. And then once you get the levels for the extremes, I would then make extreme potions. Now, granted, you're not able to sell them, but you will be set for life if you ever decide to do combat. So that's the way I'd do it in this day and age if I was doing it. If you want to do it so you can actually have a chance of selling stuff, I think you ought to just go with one of the standard old-style potions, because that's the best way of doing it if you want to make some money back. I haven't checked potion prices in a while since Herblore is not my area, but
I'm taking a look at it right now just through a calculator through the Grand Exchange here. It looks like almost everything is never worth it unless you're going to be growing your own stuff, and mixing that with Kingdom is never a bad idea, although the amount of potions, you're having to make tens of thousands of these things. So yeah, it's kind of not viable to farm all of them.
Yeah, so...
It just takes a long time.
Yeah, that's the thing. So you have to be really dedicated in order to farm them. So it depends if you want to do that. But I know, I mean, back in the olden days, you actually could make some money off of the four-dose anti-fire potions, but if what Shra is saying is true, you can't do that anymore. So, depends. What's the loss look like for an anti-fire potion?
Let me take a look.
Or a magic potion.
It looks like anti-fire is almost at negative 5k per... Oh, wait. It's about, yeah, almost 3k, it looks like.
Ooh, that's pretty bad.
Yeah, magic? All of them are in the thousands. There's very few. Although, if you wanted to make Guthix balance, you might do okay.
Yeah, that was something that also... That was a way of doing it that was cheap. Guthix balance or Serum 207. But the problem with those is you can't sell them. So.
Mm-hmm. Either way, whatever you want to make that's going to give you good experience, at least better experience for the money, you're not going to be able to sell. So might as well make something useful like extremes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, useful to yourself. You know, I think magic potions might be the one to look at these days, because back then magic potions would just boost your level and they didn't improve your percent damage. So magic potions are definitely worth looking at, because chances are there might be somebody who is... has the money and would be buying magic potions on the exchange to build extreme magic potions at level 91. But you just want to go for level 92, so, I mean, I just farm it there. It's really not that far to go.
Just, what I really did to get up there was really use my kingdom and wait for a bonus weekend. That's how I got up to 97.
That too.
I just waited till bonus weekend came around, and that's the first thing I did. And now since it's a staple 2.0, you don't have to worry about time or anything like that, so you have all that time in the world.
And Herblore goes very fast.
Oh, yes.
Yep. Yeah, you could get it knocked out in, like, your first hour.
It's still one of my favorite skills in-game. I should probably train it a bit more, because this past week I actually did get 40 million farming experience.
And do you get those Dungeoneering scrolls before you do it? Those really save you money.
The which one?
The Dungeoneering scrolls.
Yeah, what does it do?
10% chance to save your herb or your secondary.
Oh, yeah. And if you're going for 99, that would add up definitely over time.
Yes.
So
last time I did it, I got almost... I had a thousand Aventotes trying to make it a super potion, super energy potions, and I ended up getting almost an extra 150.
Well, that's right on with the rate then. Oh, and how was our bonus XP weekends? Should we do that now, or should we cover that in What Have We Been Doing?
Let's do that later.
Yeah, okay.
Otherwise, we're going to end up saying the same thing again.
Yeah, we'll cover that later, Marupska.
All right, Shane's favorite part now.
29 hours. Well done.
No sleep for the wicked.
Yeah, I suppose if you have no schoolwork or anything, it's okay.
Or you're Asian and can multitask.
Or that.
Alrighty, so now the reason why Duke and Schwa have come on is because, well, this coming Tuesday is the U.S. election. So, you guys are both voting for different people, so we are here to just have a bit of a discussion, not like fire any shots at each other or anything like that, just about what we've thought so far. So, one of you guys want to take it away?
Yeah, if you want, Schwa.
You know, just a forethought here on this election. This has been one of the first ones that social media has played a really big presence in the election. And I feel like the election season's too long. We make it too long. We could take care of all of this if we just started, like, a month before, because we're going for, like, 4 months every day, almost every hour, with a new news update on this thing. People just get tired of the elections in America, I think.
Especially if you've been following the primaries, too.
Yeah. Especially then.
Well, really, I mean, we're talking, like, I guess the main problem is it's like the presidential election just kind of brings out the worst. But, I mean, really, at this point, it's starting, you know, almost 2 years before the fact. And it's just kind of like, 2 years is a long time. I mean, that's, you know, you're going to have two houses elected in that period amount of time. So, I don't know. I definitely agree it's a long time for it to go. But I don't know if it should be like 1 month short, maybe like 3 to 4 months, just the whole thing. And just say you only have this much time to get out your message and what you want to do.
But does that include the primary or?
I'd think, yeah, they need to shorten up the primary too. I mean, yeah. I guess I could say they could go as far as 6 months. That'd probably be the max I'd want to do in terms of how long it should go on. So I'll give a little time for the primary.
You know, I think you guys are just in this. I think it comes from the whole sense of being a disgruntled British colony that you feel as though you felt back in the olden days, like 1700s or whatever, that the British were coming to get you or something. So you built all of these things in, and then you ended up with this system 200 years later that's overly complex for the times you guys live in. Don't you guys think you guys could simplify it a bit?
As far as simplifying, like, the entire government?
No. The
election
process? Yeah.
You know, the process has really changed. Back in, you know, the 1700s, 1800s, in those elections, most of the people in the country had never seen a picture of or even met the candidate, but now we're just plastered with it. I think that we could definitely streamline the entire process now that information is so easily able to get to all four corners of the country. I think that it could definitely be streamlined and needs to be redone, especially the Electoral College.
Oh, God. Yeah, that system is so confusing for people who are not educated on it. Do you guys think so, or is it just something you grow up with?
It's really simple in theory. Basically, the importance behind the Electoral College is it gives a balance, not much of one, but a balance to represent the states rather than just based on popular vote.
Right.
It kind of goes back to how the, and I could go on forever about all this stuff because I know a lot. But anyway, in terms of when they were writing up the Constitution, there was this whole worry between the Federalists and the Anti-Federalists about, okay, well, how big are we going to make central government? What role is it going to play? But also keeping in mind that, you know, before the Constitution was even drafted, you have the Articles of Confederation, which treated the states as basically sovereign entities. They were their own little countries. And that's really the way it's still supposed to be, is that the states are their own entities.
Yes.
And they really band together for certain purposes.
I like that.
And so there was this whole concern about, well, yeah, we're going to have democracy included, but really what we're more concerned about is keeping the sovereignty of the state governments and allowing them to make their own decisions, but also to have a say within the federal government, which, you know, I think for the most part has been taken away. I mean, there's no direct connection between the states and the federal government anymore besides maybe financial. But anyway, I forgot where I was going with that.
I don't know.
Basically, the way things were back in the 1700s.
Oh, you started because of
the
Electoral College.
Hmm?
You started with the Electoral College.
Oh, yeah, the Electoral College. I think it still plays an important role because I think there is a certain degree to which it matters what the states think rather than just who gets more votes. And especially with like the Bush-Gore election, you know, or I mean, there was a lot of things going on there, but that's just one example where it came down so close. And really, I wouldn't say there's as much a problem with the Electoral College and who gets picked as much as there is with the partisanship, polarization of the country. You know, the fact that it's so split down the middle is a bigger issue than the Electoral College.
You have the Democrats on the left and the Republicans on the right, and there's no one in the middle at that middle sweet spot for people to go to if they don't like either one.
I feel like the Electoral College could be at least brought into more of a relevancy if maybe not this not applying to all of the states, but especially in the swing states. They do a lot like Nebraska, and I forget which other state does, right, that they do like balanced electoral, right, votes per, you know, district and stuff. Maine, yes. I think that if a few more states like, you know, Florida or these other ones that are always in heated competition for would do that, I feel like it would give a lot more modern feel to the Electoral College.
California.
Because right now, whenever I vote here in Missouri, even if I'm voting Democrat, it's not going to matter whether or not I vote Democrat because the state will go Republican, no matter how hard I vote.
And just like if I live with Trachea, I would, my vote or Duke's vote would mean nothing.
My vote means nothing either. So it doesn't matter now, does it?
Sure, yeah, it does. So
vote FWA in Washington. You know, we're voting Republican when it's definitely going to be Democrat. So I know how that is.
So what if all the states did that and split their electoral votes like that?
Then we might as well do a popular vote.
Yeah, basically.
Okay.
So there's, yeah, if you were going to split it down the middle, basically what you'd be doing is saying the electoral vote is reflective of the popular vote within the state. So it's, I mean, basically at that point, you might as well just get rid of it.
Unless you divided the states into districts, in which case it's kind of just the election on a little more broad scale.
Right. Okay, I want to move this along a bit. So we talked about what we thought so far. Negative ad campaigning. I assume we all don't like that.
It's a tough issue. I mean, there's kind of a place for it. I mean, in, you know, the inherency in a campaign is that, well, yeah, you're going to say good things about yourself, but you also have to say bad things about the other guy. And I guess just in terms of that, you got to keep a balance. You know, you can't be constantly attacking the other guy. You actually have to put forward what you're going to do too.
In the last 8 years or so here, we've really switched to more of the negative ad campaigning like you guys do in the U.S. Before, it used to be pretty civil, but now it's kind of gone down to your guys' level. So, I mean, just being inundated with this. Too bad none of you guys are from swing states. That'd be a nice comparison. But have you guys been seeing many ads on the TV at all?
Yeah, plenty of ads.
Yeah, a few.
I can't turn the dial without hitting one on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I usually hear a lot of the propositions that's going on right now, especially 37 over here, which is the Food Labeling Act. Trying to see if you put it modified
in
the food.
Oh, right. I heard about that.
Genetically
one.
Engineered and whatnot. And, you know, I'm not going to say anything about it, but, you know, it's all over. And of course, they're trying to do some other ballots here to try and balance some of the budget stuff here in the city.
Hmm. Okay. So now I got a video that I'll show you guys all later in post show, but because I want to move on. Okay. So. Now, what do you guys think of your respective candidates this year? Or actually, both candidates this year. So, just to save time, and just so we don't go too far off the track here, we're just going to limit this one to Schwa and Duke, because you guys came on for this reason. So, let's start with Schwa. What do you think of President Obama and Romney?
You know, I think that these have been really just hard economic times overall, and it's kind of hard to say who would have been a better president, Barack Obama on the Democrat side, or could have possibly John McCain handled it better. You know, all of Mitt Romney, John McCain, and Bush's plans that they released for their presidency, their 5.1s, have been all eerily identical, outlining, you know, a focus on North American independence and energy. Mitt Romney's kind of going ahead with that with the Keystone Pipeline. They talk about taking a tough stand on the Middle East and Israel, and I feel like Mitt Romney's course could almost lead us to a course of war. Although, it seems like he agrees with Barack Obama's stance on the whole thing. So I say that a war with Iran might be inevitable no matter who gets elected. The question will be who can handle it better, as long as the economic crisis.
Okay.
I could go on, but that's pretty much my opening.
Okay.
What I have to say first.
Duke?
Well, yeah, I could definitely take a really long time on this, but I'll definitely keep in mind time. Kind of going off what Schwa was saying, I'd agree that, you know, Obama kind of just stepped into this economic mess just as it was unfolding. And there's a certain degree to which I'm not going to hold it against him that that happened. Just last year, I wrote a paper on Herbert Hoover and the Great Depression and how he kind of just got stuck with the mess that was happening at the time. And, well, can you say the Democrat candidate could have done a better job? Well, it's tough to say. It's just kind of presidencies are just kind of tied to the times they happen in, and there's not much you can do about that. So to some degree, I'm not going to blame for it, but to some degree I will, because I don't think he's done a good job in the past 4 years of managing the economy and a couple other issues. But the other thing to keep in mind, too, that I've at least told you, Shane, is that a lot of people kind of don't think of Congress as playing a part in all
right.
this.
Yeah.
The presidency, yeah, he does have quite a bit of power, but at the
and
same time,
I
making
ask you,
all these decisions, it really comes down to Congress as to what happens, where funds go, what legislation gets passed in regards to banking. Loans, wars, all that stuff, you know, and I think a lot of people have kind of lost sight of the fact that Congress is really the bigger problem here, and especially when 95 to 97% of them are getting reelected, well, not much is really changing on that side, so I don't know. In terms of comparing Obama and Romney, I mean, I think with Obama, not much is going to change, and in Congress, not much is going to change. So if he gets reelected, I don't know if a lot is going to, a lot bad is going to happen. With Romney, I don't think a lot's going to change either, because the Senate will probably still be under Democrat control. So whatever gets done in terms of that, it's hard to say.
But the House might still be Republican.
Hmm?
The House might still be Republican.
Oh, yeah. I'm pretty sure the House will, but the Senate, you know, whoever gets elected, I still think it's going to be split chambers. So it'll be hard to say how much they can actually get done. There's definitely, they're going to have to still be doing a lot more bipartisanship if they're going to solve anything. But I don't know. Watching the debates, I thought both of them, at least in the second and third, the first one was kind of wrong, I'm sure, but. The second and third, I thought they both did a good job, but I don't know.
You know, the funny thing about the third debate, Mitt Romney was telling Obama to look at his website about his plan to bring America out of the economic crisis that it's in, and he actually said that he has a plan for 8 to 10 years that he would have it fixed, but he's criticizing Obama for not having it fixed in 4 years. He'd attack him over the unemployment rate, which has dropped below 8%. So I don't think that Mitt Romney has much case as far as saying that there hasn't been any recovery yet. It's speeding up, I could probably say.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd say in terms of that, you know, there has been some recovery. I think really the argument they come down to between Obama and Romney is how much has America recovered? And, you know, Romney's saying, well, you know, you had these goals in mind, you haven't reached them, and so therefore, why should we put you back in? Whereas Obama's saying, well, you know, some recovery is better than no recovery at all, but also just trying to get down really how much has the economy recovered and how much is it going to recover based on who gets elected.
And okay. Do you think the way... Oh, go ahead, Shane.
I'd like to continue this, but as we know, Trekkie's short on time here. So, I mean, I wanted to go into a bit about what would the next 4 years look like if either one was elected, but we're short on time. So I just want to move on to the predictions really quick and then try and get through tech news.
Nope, that's
so
okay.
Let us start with the predictions. Duke goes first this time.
Oh, sweet. So I was thinking, in terms of what the next 4 years will look like I was saying, I think it'll, if it's under Obama, it'll probably look the same as it has
been. No. I said we need to get to the predictions right now.
Oh, the predictions. Okay.
Yeah, sure. I wanted to do that, but then. No real time for that.
Electoral vote. Okay. So in terms of what I had down, I think it's going to be a really close margin of about 273 to Romney and 265 to Obama. Now, there's probably a little playroom in there, but I think it's going to be probably a pretty close election.
So, and you have Wisconsin deciding it all.
Yes. I think Ohio's, Obama's going to win Ohio, but some of the other key swing states is going to lose those. So that's just my thought. I'm thinking the margin's going to be around 15 to 20, somewhere in there. It'll be pretty close.
Okay, so you have 273 to 265. All right, Schwa?
My prediction comes out at 275 for Obama to Romney's 263. Just drop another quarter. Okay. But I have, your swing state of Iowa obviously is going to be going for Romney. I think that Obama's definitely going to win Ohio. But I really think that Colorado is going to go for Romney in this one as well. It's been kind of a toss-up, but I really think the evangelicals are starting to get behind Romney, and I think that that'll greatly influence the vote in that state. With the big deciding one in that probably being Wisconsin going for Obama, I have a good feeling about it.
Okay, so that's strange. Both of you guys put Wisconsin being the deciding vote, except going for different sides. Now, is that just because of Paul Ryan or something else?
I said Wisconsin, and I said that in favor of the Republicans because, recently they had that recall vote less than 6 months ago, and the governor and some of the, I think it was the senators, they got recalled. Most of them survived re-election, so I just have a feeling that they're going to survive there in Wisconsin, and that'll be a big deal, so...
Okay.
And but tricky. That's... Oh, go ahead.
Well, I made mine more just like flat down the center. I just put basically all the coastline as very Obama and everything else in the middle just plain out red. I just put Wisconsin as blue for the heck of it. I put New Mexico as red just to see what would happen. And I'm saying Obama's may win with the 271 and Romney the 267. I just did that for kicks. Alaska is definitely going for Romney, and Hawaii may probably go for Obama since he's from there. Florida is definitely going for Romney. That's without a doubt that's going to happen. Ohio, I say, would probably go to Obama with everything that's been going on over there in that area so far.
I think we could be really surprised by an Obama victory in Florida.
Or, we'll see what happens. There's a lot of anti-Obama sentiment in Florida right now. So
Bill Clinton's been going around and doing some last-minute campaigning around there, too, as well, though.
Yeah, but since it's only about a couple, one, two, three, four or five days left, it doesn't matter. Everybody made up their mind months ago.
It comes down to the ground game right about now. Go ahead.
One thing I was going to say is that I didn't like the early voting in some of the states, I think. I can't remember which ones had it, but some of them do, and I really didn't like that at all because it was especially like after the debates that they would do it, or I think it was after the first debate, they were trying to get people to vote a certain way, and I don't know, I think that could definitely have an impact, because all these numbers have been changing, but people keep forgetting that people have already done voting in some of the states, so we'll see how much of an impact that has.
Do you have anything to add?
No, I'm good.
Okay. Now, as for me, I am making a rather bold prediction here. Not as bold as some people would think. I am, just for reasons I've been reading about the polling methodologies and everything, and my past experience following polls in our past Alberta election this this spring. I don't put that much weight onto polls, and I think the turnout could be drastically different than the polls are modeling. So what I have done is I am saying 281 Romney, 257 Obama, with Ohio, Iowa, and Colorado going for Romney, and of course Virginia, North Carolina, and Florida as well. So that's what I put on mine. I mean, if I wanted to be more optimistic towards Romney, I would give him Wisconsin and New Hampshire as well, but I'm not sure about that. Not as sure as Duke is on New Hampshire, Wisconsin, and really wasn't sure on New Hampshire at this point either. So that's why I left it how it was right now. Cool. If I was following the polls, I would change this out by giving Obama Ohio and Iowa, but I don't think he's going to get those two. So
I think he'll at least get Ohio.
Yeah, we'll see.
There's been a lot of bad press about Romney in Ohio these past couple days.
Right, Shane, I gotta get going. So
okay,
have fun with podcast. Sorry, guys, we're coming short. Gotta go. Peace.
All right, see you, Truggy.
See you.
Bye. Yep. Bye, Duke. Bye, Sean.
Alrighty, so there's our predictions. It'll be interesting to see what happens with this. It's worth noting that in 2008, I came in second place in predicting the Obama win. Jeff came in first place. He got closest. So I'm hoping that what I said will be close. And as I've mentioned to some people before, for me it's about predicting, about making sure my predictions are right, not exactly who's going to win, because I just want to make sure my predictions are right on this. Anyways, let us move on to tech news.
Okay.
Unless there's any last-minute prediction things anybody would like to mention?
Like I said, I just think it's going to come down really close. You know, I really think it could go either way, but I think Romney has a little bit more going for him at the moment right now.
Okay.
Not since the story that broke Sunday about him using the Mormon church as a tax haven for 15 years.
Oh, nobody cares. Come on.
Dude, everyone cares. We love corrupt politicians.
Ah, yes. Well, Shane, you never... yeah. Remember when you brought up that Obama hasn't really had a big scandal in his presidency?
Yeah, that's true.
You told me that quite a few weeks ago, and I think the Republicans missed their chance on the whole gun running operation that happened.
Oh, right.
But I don't know.
Right.
Other than that.
Yeah, I don't know. We could talk about this forever, but let us move on. First up this week in tech news, Nexus from Google, now in three sizes. So that'd be the Nexus 4, which is a phone, the Nexus 7, which is, of course, the tablet that they've already been running out with, and the Nexus 10, which is what was actually released this Monday, a 10-inch screen at 2560 by 1600. So that is bigger than the iPad 3 Retina. So this, I think, is the most highest DPI tablet that's available. So definitely very interesting what Google's doing with this. And I think if they would have been to the market first with this, they probably would have had the market. But Apple, of course, beat them. The Nexus 10 will be 16 gigabytes for $399, which is, of course, cheaper than the iPad by, I think, about $100 in the U.S. I think the iPad is $499 in the U.S., right?
Yeah, for the 16.
Right. The Nexus 4 is the phone, so that's going to be the 8 gigabyte model for $299, 16 gig for $349. Now, I don't know if that's on a carrier. Okay, yes, that is without a carrier, so... definitely interesting from Google. Are either of you guys Android fans?
Yeah. I think a lot of the phones that are out there, whether it be the iPhone or the Android or whatever it is, I think they're all, you know, like pretty solid phones. I think it just comes down to preference in terms of, you know, just who you like better in terms of branding. So,
doesn't matter. Yeah, and the app ecosystem behind the whole thing, too. That plays a major role for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think Apple definitely has the better app ecosystem. And, you know, I love Androids to death for the fact that you can customize them. But I want to customize my computer at home. I just want my phone to work.
Exactly.
I don't need a lot of frills.
And that's the thing I like about the iPhone as well. So, I mean, these tablets are good, and I don't think we've really seen a successful Android tablet of the size of the 10-inch form factor. So hopefully for Google...
The Transformer.
I never heard about that one.
It was an Asus.
Oh, okay. Did it run Android?
Yeah, it ran Android, and I think they just upped it to Jelly Bean recently.
See, the thing is I think with the Google behind this, it definitely gives it a push that it needs. So, I mean, that's probably why it will end up being successful. So I'd like to try one of these, but I don't know. There's just something about the whole Apple ecosystem that is still worthwhile to me. But
new phones. If I was going to choose a smartphone, I'd probably go with an Apple, just because I think it's better. But
Schwa, you said you have an iPhone, right?
Yeah, I do.
Okay. And these all run Android 4.2, which is the newest flavor of Jelly Bean. So it comes with Google Now, which is really a good little service. So if you're looking for a tablet, you got the Nexus 7 and the Nexus 10, as well as the iPad Mini, the iPad 2, and the iPad 4. So you got a huge selection of tablets to choose from this holiday season.
Yeah.
So if there's nothing else here on this... Google Nexus Android, I'd like to move on to the next one, which is an IBM breakthrough with nanotubes. So we all know that in the past decade or so, computer clock speeds really haven't gone up now, have they?
Not by anything considerable.
Exactly. So the whole point behind this is the fact that chip manufacturers have had to keep shrinking their fabrication process down to the point where a single transistor is no larger than a bit of an atom. So, of course, as you guys might know, as you go to such small sizes, you encounter barriers from the subatomic world and quantum mechanics where things just don't make sense sometimes. So IBM has made an advancement in this, which is based on carbon nanotubes, which is basically a molecule that is going to be the future logic gate rather than the current kinds of transistors that we use. So, for example, they were able to fabricate an array of carbon nanotubes on the surface of a silicon wafer and use them to build hybrid chips with more than 10,000 working transistors. So the benefit of this is the fact that they can get the manufacturing process small enough that they don't encounter those same barriers from the quantum world as when you shrink the size down. So that is the breakthrough in this, and hopefully this will trickle down to all of the other chip manufacturers as well, because within the next 5 to 8 years, we're kind of going to be stuck at increasing chip performance through other means until we can figure out how to shrink the sizes even further.
You know, I was actually reading about this on another article, and they said the beauty of the discovery here is that all of these chip manufacturers can pretty easily convert their facilities to make these kinds of chips, because it has to be a super clean environment, because even a couple atoms of something else on this carbon nanotube can mess it all up. But they said that it was going to be a pretty easy conversion to it. Now, we're still a ways off, because 10,000 transistors really isn't that much when you're talking about a processor. It's just like 1%.
Yeah, you could probably fit that many on a less than a fraction of a pinhead.
Yeah, but it'll be definitely cool to see in the next few years. Keeping up with, I forget what's his name's law it is.
Moore's Law.
Yes, Moore's Law.
It's actually mentioned in this... thing here, Moore's Law, because it says that carbon nanotubes are one of the three promising technologies engineers will be perfected in time to keep the industry on its Moore's Law pace. Graphene is another promising material that's being explored, as well as a variant of the standard silicon transistor known as a tunneling field effect transistor. So, that will keep us on track with Moore's Law, and hopefully this won't be too expensive when it comes out.
Yeah. I just think it's amazing. It's just like things are getting so small, and oh man. I mean, don't they have a problem, like, sometimes losing microprocessors?
No. They don't. Just as an example, back in the olden days, in 06, standard microprocessor fabrication process was 90 nanometers. Nowadays, we're down to 22 nanometers.
Wow. So. Fantastic.
That's just how fast things are progressing. And in the early 2000s, things were measured in micrometers.
Mm.
So
yes.
Even the transition from micrometers down to nanometers is a big thing as well. Or is it 32 nanometer? Or is it 22? I forget what we're on.
There's some 22s. There's 32 as well, though.
Right, yes. So Ivy Bridge is 22 and Sandy Bridge was 32 for Intel chips. I got confused. All right. Moving on to anybody that tweets. Twitter will reportedly be taking on Instagram with its own photo filters as a part of the Twitter mobile app.
We finally advanced enough to make these high-res digital cameras and now we just want to ruin all the pictures.
I completely agree with you with Instagram and everything like that. So, I mean, I don't get why Twitter had to do this. It's like a Me Too feature because, as anybody will remember, we talked about the Facebook camera application and apparently they do the same thing as well. So, I mean, it's just Me Too. And let people use Instagram if they want to. Like, I just don't see the point, like you said, Schwab, distorting photos to make them look like they're taken with an ancient camera.
Don't use Twitter anyway. They'll give your info to the cops. They don't care about your privacy.
Well, you could say the same thing for Facebook as well. Lots of people post things like that on Facebook too. So, I mean, I just don't see the point of this. But if Twitter wants to do that, that's perfectly fine by them. But, you know, maybe they have to do it because Facebook did buy Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe they just feel
keep
like
up the competition.
They need their own type of solution or something. So, alrighty. Anybody else have anything on tech news related things that they'd like to mention?
Don't think so.
Windows 8 made its debut recently.
Yeah, we talked about that last week. Yeah, I like Windows 8. But that's a topic for later. Alrighty, moving on to other things. As I mentioned, we did have a huge boost in skill of the month this month because of bonus XP weekend. Primarily because, well, we had a big lead change. You'll remember last week that Fish was in the lead. Then came bonus XP weekend. And, well, suffice to say, Brian B. made a huge increase. He ended up winning the whole shebang. He gained 5.7 million XP, largely, roughly all while in bonus XP weekend in one day. Second place was Fish with 4.2. And then we had Jason in third place with 3.9. The Lion 777 in fourth place. And Pernasius in fifth with 3.4, who was second last week. So congratulations to you, Brian B., with that huge amount of XP gained. And with that being said, let's also mention that the November Skill of the Month is Prayer, and there's not really much to see there except the fact Miner Goo is currently winning with 740,000 XP gained. Another expensive Skill of the Month.
It'll level out after 5 days.
Yeah, it will. That's typically what happens with expensive.
Fredbot is just such a bad picker.
Stop it, Fredbot. Do you think we're all rich?
Probably. Well, in any case, moving on from this, we got the achievements of the week. So, first up was Bletherskite with 99 agility on the 29th.
Or Duke. Oh, sorry. Bletherskite also got 99 Hunter on October the 27th.
Copsi got 99 Herblore on October 27th as well.
And Jason 72 with 99 Herblore on the 27th as well. Congratulations to you all.
I turned 21 on the 29th.
Of November?
Of October.
Oh, well, happy birthday then.
Thanks.
Did you do anything illegal?
Well, everything's legal now, so I just went out and got a few drinks, you know.
Okay.
You know how it is.
Right.
Nah, not really. I had a pretty easy 21st birthday. Nothing crazy.
Well, that's good then. All right, does anybody have a pick for us this week?
I don't know. Didn't you have one?
Yeah,
I
did have one.
Already, please vote. I wrote a whole article this month on why you should, and, you know, it's a big deal. I really think it's a big, significant year, considering we're electing a president, and there's,
you know, we can talk about this in the Informer Roundup.
Yeah, I know, but still, it's important. Go vote.
Okay.
Yeah, especially local.
My pick this week, I said I'd keep this for later maybe, but we'll see if I need to use this one later on. It's an iPad application. It is from Fox News, so let's just get that out of the way first. it's not anything that is biased in any way, because it is a nice little iPad application for building an electoral map. If you do have access to an iPad. You could basically go in there and fill everything out state by state, and then it gives you a nice picture of it. Is much better than the ones that we were using for our predictions. Then you can also, of course, tweet it, share it on Facebook or over email or whatever. Save it if for some reason you want to save it for later on. And they also have historical maps going all the way back to 1992. It'd be nice if they went further back, because I think those ones were more interesting if you go back to like the 1960s or something. So they got 92, 96, 2000, 2004, and 2008 if you want to see what the map looked like back then. So if you have an iPad, definitely check this out if you're interested in making any predictions over the weekend. It just makes it a nicer picture than the ones that we have. That's the main reason this is the pick. So. All right, so the Informer Roundup. What were you telling us about, that article you wrote?
Oh, yeah. So, didn't do my standard gaming article. Did an article on the upcoming election, specifically voting. And basically, I just talked about the fact that if you're 18 years old or older, you can vote. And turnout hasn't been good, at least in my opinion, the past few years. You know, when only 60%? Yeah, 60% of people who are eligible to vote do vote, and that's really not that big a number. But I would just encourage everyone, or anyone on RSBNB, if you can vote, please do. It's a big deal. I think your most important right you have as an American citizen, and you should exercise it. And I don't care which way you vote, just vote, but if you do, try to get educated. Don't just listen to what the media says or necessarily fall on party lines. Make up your own mind about the candidates and vote.
Well said.
Especially,
and that was a
locally,
good, that was a good piece as well. And you are right, Schwa, on that. So that was Duke's article. We also had a whole bunch of other things. You can head on over to the Informer Roundup and have a read yourself. So informer.rsbnb.com. All right. So just a reminder before we talk about what we've been up to this week, I am looking for somebody who is anti-Evolution of Combat to come on a Focus episode with us and share why they don't like Evolution of Combat with us. So if you're one of these people or you know someone, send me a PM on the forums and I'll get in contact with you, and we'll talk about when we're going to run something like this. All right, so Schwa, what have you been up to this week? Did you partake in Bonus XP weekend?
You know, I actually have not. My membership ran out. I haven't logged on in a couple of weeks, probably almost a month now. I've just really been busy with school. I started a new major doing network technologies, kind of the hardware-based side, where you're the software-based side. And I've just been kind of busy with that and working up at the theater.
Oh, okay, so you went back to the theater.
Oh, yeah, I've been working there steadily. I'd got another job with, like, a moving company, but I've been doing both.
Okay. Duke?
Yeah. Pretty much similar story to Schwa. My membership ran out a while ago, and I haven't really done much RuneScape besides the Halloween event and Team Righteous, which they unfortunately lost. But that's okay. Everyone likes to be bad on Halloween. What can you do? But anyway, I've been really busy with school, too. This is my senior year. This semester, I'm writing my senior thesis and taking quite a few classes, 18 credits. So focusing on graduating, then also, I don't know, have a girlfriend. So have that going on and not much else. So.
All right. Well, as for me, I did participate in Bonus XP Weekend, and I know Trekkie did as well, so it's a shame he had to go. But what I did on Bonus XP Weekend, first, I used the few summoning charms that I had in my bank. Of course, you can't turn down double XP summoning, right? So I did that, got 91 summoning, so that was fun. Of course, I did farming, as I mentioned. I went for 90, of course, I've already long past that. I went for 40 million farming XP, so I got that done as well. So that was a nice accomplishment of mine. So I was quite happy with that. And then after that, after my farming and summoning was done, I pretty much just headed off and went down to the Living Rock Caverns and decided it was time to do some mining. Because, well, I don't like mining, so I was happy to get double mining XP. I got roughly 200,000 mining XP. Should have probably spent a bit more time on that because, well, it only comes around once every so often. But the current project is level 90 mining, currently level 88. And aside from that, I just did some Objective-C programming this week on working on the Sticky Notes application. So that's me.
Almost nice. Top 500 on farming.
Again, when I got 99, I was in the top 300, but I slacked.
Guess you got to go for 200 million.
Yeah, I don't know. Serve your place.
I don't know about that. If anybody wants to finance me, I will gladly go for 200 million farming XP. But I don't know if I have the ability to go for that on my own. So. I think we're done for this episode, unless anybody else has anything they'd like to mention.
Go vote.
Yep.
Very good. That's a great way of ending it. So with that said, we'll see you all next week, everyone, and have a good weekend.
Adios.